Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by our pastor, Jeff Conway.
So, there was a football game last week, and it was pretty exciting, wasn't it? So there were just over 2 minutes left, and I know that Patty and Addison up in Boston, Barrett in Houston, myself here in Malvern, all had the same thought. Tom, you've got just over 2 minutes to score. Don't score too fast, because we don't want to give the Eagles a chance to get back. And then it happened. A sack and a fumble. And it was unbelievable. And if any of you tell Patty this, I'll shave your heads. But I smiled. And I was happy for all of you. And now I'm just realizing Patty's over there and hopefully she's not paying attention. So congratulations. And for those that were there, how awesome that you were there. That is beautiful. I want to talk about football, but I want to talk about another football, another kind of football, soccer. I want to tell you about a game that was played a while ago, and it was women's soccer, and it was the women's all-star Christian soccer team versus the rest of the world all-star team. It was an exciting, packed game. And the very first 2 minutes, one of the all-star Christian women hit a great header and scored. The crowd went crazy. The Christians were ahead 1-0. With 1 minute left in the half, one of the atheist all-stars scored. The crowd went wild. There were plenty there. Now, the all-star team from the rest of the world, they had atheists, they had people from other religions, they had humanists who believed that humanity can take care of the world all by itself. So it was an interesting game to watch, this Christian women's team, all-stars, against the rest of the world. Halftime, 1-1. A little different than football scores. 1-1 when they're going in at halftime. And here in the locker room of the Christian women's team, they began talking and encouraging each other and saying things like, "We can't give up. We need to move forward." The next person said, "We have been given the responsibility to win this game." Then one of the younger players said, "We need to kill him." I mean, not literally, but we need to kill him. But then one of the older players said, "You know, we need to try this strategy. We need to be nice to them during the game. We need to encourage the other team. We need to be welcoming. We need to shake their hands when we get out there." And so they went out for the second half. And they began using their strategies, and once again, they scored. The women's Christian All-Stars were ahead 2-1. Awesome. In the middle of the second half, the goalie for the Christian women sees this man start to walk onto the field. He's wearing sandals. He's wearing sandals and he begins to walk across the field. And when he's halfway through the field and the referees are blowing their whistles and trying to figure out what's going on with him, he turns to the all-star Christian goalie and says, "Follow me." And she doesn't know what he's saying, but she's intrigued and she can't keep her eyes off him. But he makes it to the other side of the field, and the game starts again. And he turns around to her one more time and says, "Follow me." And she's intrigued, and she's pulled away. Who is this? So she leaves her goaltending area and heads towards him. And right at that moment, the rest of the world all-stars, wham, score another goal. It's 2-2. She makes it over to this man in sandals, and they begin a conversation. She's out of breath, yet she blurts out, "Who are you, and what do you want?" "Come and see. Follow me," he says. "What? Come and see, you think? Who does he think he is?" "But sir," you gasp with exasperation, trying to be polite, "I can't just leave the game to follow someone I don't know. I have responsibilities." Something dawns on you. You realize he doesn't seem concerned the least about the soccer game, which is strange since everyone is either on one team or the other. "Okay, here's the deal," you nearly yell. "I'll follow you wherever it is you're going if you'll at least tell me which side you're on." "Neither." "Well, it can't be neither. You have to be on one side or the other," you exclaim. "Neither," he repeats. Again, you tell him that's not possible, as everyone is on one team or the other. "So which side is it that you're on? Your own?" "Yep." "So then, what's your name? What's the name of your side?" "Joshua. And if you'll stop asking questions and follow me, you'll end up understanding what I mean." She's totally confused. Totally confused, but wants to follow him. As she follows, she begins to learn that this soccer game you've been playing, that everyone's been playing, isn't the way. Jesus is the way. And that winning doesn't mean scoring more points than the other team. It's Jesus. He's the score. All the strategies your team has been using over all these years is wrong. The past 5 weeks, we have been working our way through a sermon series. And really, it's been about evangelism. A word that not everybody likes or not everybody is comfortable with. But that soccer game is often what we think of evangelism. It's us versus them. And we need to have strategies to beat them, to win them over. And in the midst of our strategies and all the stress, and the ways that we don't even want to play in that kind of game because it's too stressful, we forget all about Jesus. In fact, Donald Miller, in his book, Searching for God Knows What, writes about going to a very well-known Bible college, to a theology class, and telling the students, "I'm going to share with you a gospel message. I'm going to leave something out of that message that is important, and I want you to pay attention so that you can tell me what I left out at the end." So he goes on to talk about sin, and he mentions all kinds of sin, and particularly sin that college students would understand at that level of maturity. And he's talking about that. He talks then about conviction, realizing that that kind of way of living is not right and that God convicts people of that kind of sin. Then he moved on to talk about repentance, the need to repent, to seek forgiveness. And then he spent some time talking about that great gift of forgiveness. And he ended his talk by using John 14 and talking about the eternal heavenly presence that God is calling us all to. He finished his talk and he asked the class, what was missing? And if you've ever seen or read Donald Miller, you know he's just comfortable with the uncomfortable. So he stood up there for a few minutes of silence with all these Bible college theological students looking around at each other and everybody trying to figure out what was the big key thing that he never mentioned in his gospel message. After making them feel uncomfortable for 2 or 3 minutes, he finally let them know what he never mentioned. Do you know what he never said in that gospel talk? He never said one thing about Jesus. Not one thing. All the strategy, all the process, but nothing about Jesus spoken in that message. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to get comfortable speaking about Jesus with other people. But that's the challenge that is there before each one of us. As redeemed children, loved by God, we're called to be chilly. To be a mix of different things. We need to worship. That first call upon us is recognizing who God is and participating in the work of giving thanks to God for who God is and what God has done. Secondly, we need to live in hope. We are called to be people of hope. We live in a broken world, and we have broken bodies. But in that brokenness, God breaks through and speaks about hope, an eternal hope. We need to live that way. We need to worship. We need to be people of hope, and we need to be people that reach out and care for others. That's part of what signing that refugee letter was about for me, was speaking out and actually participating in caring for others. And then that fourth thing. What else has God invited us to do? To speak. To speak. To speak about Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture is there anything about strategies. Nowhere in Scripture is there anything about us versus them. But all throughout Scripture, we are invited to speak and share of the grace of Jesus Christ. And so let's hear from Jesus as he's speaking in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. Jesus speaking to a crowd a little bit about this kingdom that we are heading to. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Two different images of people who find Jesus. Those who stumble upon Jesus like I did, and those who have been seekers for a long time, trying to figure things out. We, children of God, we are called to do something specifically. We are called to share with joy. We are called to share recognizing that there are consequences. And we are called to share specifically about Jesus. We are called to share with joy. Carol Sue and Jack Taylor sent me an encouraging note a couple weeks ago that was very sweet. And they ended it talking about the children's message that we started this sermon series off. You remember when I had the big old pile of food here. Ding-dongs and ho-hos and kind bars and Gatorades and waters and all kinds of things that were on that. And at the end, at the benediction, I said, you know, that they'll get to come get what they want, but then share the rest with all of you. And in that note, Carol Sue and Jack wrote to me, I wish you could have seen the faces of all those children as they were sharing all those goodies with people in the congregation. This is a gift of great joy. Great joy to know that we are loved by God through Jesus Christ. We need to share that joy with others. This isn't a stress point. This is a great gift of joy. So on Friday, I was in Starbucks with Jim Birkin. We're sipping away and chatting away, and Becca Lou walks in. And I remember her preaching about Starbucks evangelism, right? Do you remember that? And I go, holy cow, now I'm on the line. So as Jim and I are getting up, I looked over at the woman seated close by, and I see she's wearing a cross, and people wear crosses for different reasons, so I thought, well, that's a way I can start a conversation. I say, I see you're wearing a cross. What are you wearing the cross for? And she says, well, I'm a Christian. So I walked away. No, she said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, great. I'm one of the pastors at Paoli. She goes, I go to St. Norbert. We had this great conversation of joy. It was an easy thing to do. The cross kind of helped with that. There are a lot of ways that we can just simply share with joy. Remember to do that. Remember also, because I'm not going to make this easy on you, remember also that our sharing can have consequences. There's a story in Scripture in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and others go into the city, and there's a woman who's possessed in a way that she's able to tell the future for other people. She's a slave. She's owned by another person. And so it actually says in Scripture that Paul is annoyed, for this woman keeps following after him saying, you're the one who speaks about the glory of God. And so she keeps yelling out about what Paul is doing. And it says that in annoyance, he turned to her and said, Spirit, leave this woman. And immediately, the evil spirit left, and she was no longer able to look into people's future. So what happened? It's a great thing, right? She's at peace finally. But what happened? Her owner gets really mad. Why? She's his income. What do they end up doing? They get everybody riled up. They beat Paul and the others. They throw him in prison. There are consequences. So sometimes when we begin speaking about Jesus to other people, and this has happened to us, some of us, in a way that we don't want to do it anymore because there's been enough pushback. But my encouragement to you is to continue to do it. For sometimes when there's pushback, when you bring Jesus into a conversation, you can take a gentle step back, but not a step away. Keep loving that person, keep praying for that person, and keep looking for ways that you can specifically share with that person. So not only share with joy, not only recognize that there may be consequences when we share, but we need to remember to share specifically the story of Jesus. This whole sermon series has been about how we can be more comfortable in the journey, building a relationship of trust with someone else, speaking about Jesus that invites others to be curious about who is this Jesus in your life. And then the conversation moving to change, and that's when I called Becca at 3 a.m. and said I had the flu, and the poor thing had to come and preach all 3 services that day, and I'm bummed because the sermon was ready and I was excited about that sermon on change, because boy was I convicted and realized that I needed to change early on that journey. Trusting relationships, curious about Jesus, recognizing there needs to be change in a life. And then last week, reflecting on those barriers, how we personally put up barriers for others by speaking in a way, by acting in a way that holds them back from wanting to take that step towards Jesus. Even talking about how our church physical plant can have some of those barriers. So this week is about the kingdom of God and crossing into that threshold. So share with joy. Share understanding there may be consequences. But share specifically. Ask very explicitly about Jesus. Where are you with Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? And if they push back or kind of push away, I don't really know, I can't really, just whatever barriers they may be experiencing, talk to them about those barriers. Don't just stop there. Well, somebody did this before. Talk to them about that. Listen to them about that. Well, way back in history, talk to them. Listen to them. How can this be true? The Bible is so old. Listen to them. Talk to them. Specifically to help them. And then here's the last point, and remember this most of all. Share with joy. Share knowing there are consequences. Share explicitly. And here's the most explicit way you can share. Tell another person that you know that they are loved by God. It's something I've done for years. Some people have looked at me dumbfounded when I say it, but nobody's ever argued with me. I've never gotten into an argument with somebody when I tell them they're loved by God. Go to that place to help them get to that threshold, because it does have eternal consequences. Because the joy we experience knowing that we're loved by God, a simple little reflection of that joy with the children who came here and handed out all that junk food to you on that first day. Remember the joy of what it means to be loved by God. How that helps you with the hope in this broken world. How that gives you confidence. How you celebrate being part of a community. Celebrate that joy. Know that joy. And share that gift with someone else. I spoke to Scott Horn just before this service. I was surprised that he went down to the parade on Thursday. Not that he went, but that he went with a clicker. And so he walked around and he counted everybody that was there at the parade from the stadium all the way to the Rocky Steps. Now, what count did you get again? What, 1 million what? So I think he said 2,329,422. He might have been off by one, But that was one great celebration to see, wasn't it? A lot of people just celebrating joy and having fun. Remember the celebration that happens in heaven every time somebody recognizes that they're loved by God. Be people who are passionate about leading others towards walking in that joy that we walk in. So, Holy and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this day for the joy that you have called each one of us to. Empower us with your words that we do share with joy. That we do share knowing that maybe it's not going to be simple or received easily. And that as we share, that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you strengthen us enough that we can just lean into Jesus and tell others how dearly loved they are. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.